Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family, and we are so very delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, and remember to check us out on Facebook. Well, 105 years ago, on August 11th, a Catholic priest sat in the swing of his rectory front porch before a KKK-affiliated minister shot and killed him. And that priest was Father James E. Coyle of St. Paul's Cathedral in Birmingham, Alabama. And on this anniversary of his death, we wanted to reflect and celebrate the life of this martyr to duty, and how he not only affected our lives personally in coming back to the Catholic faith, but his legacy for Catholicism in the South. So the theme for today's show is this: celebrating the life of Father James E. Coyle. And to learn more about Father Coyle, you could go straight out to his website, fathercoyle.org. And we're excited today to talk about it and to bring it to your attention so that you know there'll be a mass tomorrow at 10 o'clock that EWTN will bring in coverage at our cathedral. And Bishop Rako will be leading that mass. And it's where Father Coyle served, lived, and died. And it's really a beautiful, beautiful story.
There'll be a documentary on the life and legacy of Father Coyle at 9:30 Central Time tomorrow, and then the Mass at 10. You'll want to watch both the documentary, learn more about Father Coyle, and then the actual Mass itself in the beautiful sanctuary, Cathedral of St. Paul, where Father ministered, performed his last act there at the altar, marrying a couple who people believed was a mixed couple, and they actually weren't. And he was assassinated right after that, saying his prayers outside on the rectory porch. So much more about that.
That's right. Well, you know, we'd like to take a moment to remind you that EWTN is only made possible through the generosity of viewers like you. And if EWTN has strengthened your faith or blessed your family, we humbly ask that you prayerfully consider making a financial gift to EWTNmission.com so that we can continue to bring Christ's message to the whole world. As Mother Angelica used to say, please keep us between your gas and electric bill. We can't do this without you. You could go out to EWTNmission.com to donate. And we want to thank you for that you've already given, and especially for your prayers for this most powerful and needed network. And the whole world needs EWTN. So be a part in the solution of solving the ills of this world through this beautiful network.
We'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, the theme for today's show is celebrating the life of Father James E. Coyle. And we have a documentary that we're going to show. There'll be a beautiful documentary that, and a mass tomorrow. The mass tomorrow will be at 10 o'clock, August 11th, and it will air here on EWTN. And you can watch the Father James E. Coyle Life and Legacy documentary that's going to air at 9:30 tomorrow Central Time, which will then be followed by the beautiful mass at the cathedral led by our very own Bishop Rako. And you can also watch the Father Coyle documentary on EWTN Plus or EWTN.com whenever you like.
Let's watch the trailer to the Father James E. Coyle Life and Legacy documentary. Again, this will air in fullness 9:30 Central Time tomorrow. Let's play that trailer.
I discovered Father Coyle when I first moved to Birmingham, Alabama. This Catholic priest had been assassinated for performing what they thought was an interracial marriage.
The killing took place in broad daylight in front of a street full of witnesses.
It's like one of the trials of the century to see if a man would be prosecuted for killing a Catholic priest in the Deep South. And the answer was, yeah, they would get away with it.
If you go into the jury room and throw out the evidence, you will have all the narrow-minded, redneck people come out and pat you on the back. But for the remainder of your lives, you will have your conscience to prick and sting you.
Father Coyle knew what he believed. Father Coyle lived what he believed, and Father Coyle laid his life down.
So very powerful. Please do watch that. EW10 will air that 9:30 again tomorrow, Mass at 10. If you're in the greater Birmingham area, Montgomery, Huntsville, wherever you might be, please come to the Mass if you're available to do that at 10 o'clock. It'll be absolutely beautiful. Bishop Rake is a wonderful, you know, preacher and celebrant, and he really has a great love for Father Coyle and calls him a martyr. So Father Coyle played a great, you know, role in our lives. I was a lapsed Catholic and Episcopal priest for 22 years, felt the drawing back to the church. I had heard about Father Coyle being assassinated in 1921. He ministered at the St. Paul's Church. It wasn't the cathedral at that point. There was just one diocese, the Archdiocese of Mobile. I visited his grave and I just introduced myself, Father Coyle. I heard about you, the great man of God that you were. I understand how your life ended, that you didn't just die, you were assassinated, you were killed for reaching out to all people, for being the face of the Catholic Church, for performing this wedding between a dark-skinned Puerto Rican Catholic and a convert girl from Methodism, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back. And so I prayed there, and then I looked down at his headstone, and I didn't realize I was in a Catholic burial area. So there were about 50, 60 or more priests. There were 50, 60 or more sisters. There were three bishops, and I went to every grave and introduced myself. I'm Jim Pinto. I used to be Catholic. I'm an Episcopal priest. Should I come back to the church? Amazing things happened in my life. You see the beautiful Celtic cross there in Elmwood Cemetery. And amazing things happened in my life. And I felt drawn to leave my parish for 22 years, the Episcopal Church, and to come back home, to revert to the Catholic faith. So that was, I then went to the St. Paul's, and Father Donahoe was the priest there, and I told him what had happened in my life. I said, look, you know, I went to Father Coyle's grave, I prayed, and I want you to know Father Coyle's alive. Mm. And so Donahoe said, you know, I used to be an Episcopal priest as well. He says, and I'm the pastor here. He says, I know Coyle's alive. Mm. It's like he's all over the place. And so we're sharing with him and just kind of saying, you know, well, why don't people know him? Mm-hmm. You know, Hugo Black was the attorney that defended Edwin Stevenson, the minister who shot him dead in cold blood. And there's a Hugo Black building because Hugo Black became a senator, you see it from Birmingham, and then became a Supreme Court justice, and everybody knows Hugo Black. But nobody knew where Father Coyle was or the story of Father Coyle. And we started a website on Father Coyle, I mean, probably about 27 years ago when I came back. And things really started happening from there in this going forth. And then EWTN aired our documentary. And people all over the world, and I want to say a special thanksgiving to all the people there in Ireland who keep his memory alive, who gather tomorrow on the day of his death, of his martyrdom. And they love him, Sheila Killian, his grandniece there, and all the clan, back the true clan, not the KKK clan, the Irish clan that's there. And so, yeah, he's just an amazing, amazing man. He was ordained, he was born 1873, ordained to the priesthood 1896, died for the faith. So he was ordained at age 23 in St. John Lateran, mm-hmm. St. John Lateran. Mm-hmm. And he was ordained by a cardinal. And then he quickly, you know, came over here at the end of the 1800s and started ministering in Mobile, planting churches. McGill Institute for Boys, he was director there, great educator, his parents were educators. And then Father O'Reilly, who is the pastor of St. Paul's Cathedral, was kind of reviewing the reserve troops in Birmingham, and he got thrown from his horse and broke his neck. The pastor, who started St. Vincent's Hospital and so many things, home for children that needed care. And so then Father Coyle was called to go up to St. Paul's, and he was very young. I got the letter between him and the bishop, where he's saying, you know, I'm so young. Father Claude was an awesome man. I don't know if I could really do this, you know, but nobody will try harder than I will try. So he went up there, 1904 to 1921, and things were pretty good overall until about 1915. And then this anti-Catholic bigotry really rose up very strongly. I think it came from Florida, where they learned you can win elections by going anti-Catholic. They brought it up to Alabama. They wanted to go to other places and really focus upon the Catholic Church as dangerous.
Yes.
So it wasn't just a theological discussion anymore, what you believe about Mary, what you believe about the Eucharist, what you believe. It was we know you're kidnapping women, and they're being held at convents. They passed a law in Alabama that said you don't need any warrant to go into any Catholic church, any convent, any whatever, because we believe that they're taking women. It was like crazy. They said that Father Claude was the chaplain of the Knights of Columbus, and that you're stockpiling weapons. You know, you're militant. They were saying things like that the Pope was going to move to America, and it's just inflaming so much stuff. And Father Coyle, for years, you know, was the face of Catholicism in the city of Birmingham and in the diocese itself. And so there was an animus against the Catholic Church and an animus against Father Coyle, and his face was the face of Catholicism. He was very articulate, very well educated, came from a very educated family, came from a family that was oppressed because there was English rule. His kin believed Ireland should be Irish and under its own rule. They had homes that were taken over, the people arrested, and so on there. But Father Coyle channeled his belief and idea of freedom into the priesthood and then came to Alabama and started ministering to all people. Melkites, Maronites, who had no place to worship, he took them in, African-American people starting the first school. So he had this whole thing of the sanctity of human life. And this is 1904 to 1921 that he's doing this. But for years, Father Coyle's life was under threat. So at some point, you know, in about 1920 or so, he was assassinated, 21, maybe before then, the bishop called him down and said, I want you to see the FBI records that I have. They want to kill you. And they're threatening to burn the church down. And you just need to be aware of this. Mm-hmm. Because Father Coyle was very articulate. There were about 7 newspapers in Birmingham. He was in all the papers. He challenged people to debates about the Catholic Church. You share what you're sharing about the church. I'll share what the church is really all about. And if you win the argument, I'll pay you X amount of dollars. And for Christmas, I'll give you a gift. He was like that. Mm-hmm. And the bishop says, you got to back off some because this is the deal. They want to kill you. And so this went on before the wedding of Pedro Guzman and Ruth Stevenson, this girl who was drawn to the Catholic faith. There's a little girl at age 12 who spoke to Father Coyle about the faith. And the father said at that point when she was 12 years old, you go back there, there was a threat to kill him and maybe burn the church. He was a Klansman, a lot of Klans friends, hundreds, thousands. The Klan was very, very strong. And finally she converted and married this dark-skinned Puerto Rican guy. The Klan considered him to be black. It was illegal, but it wasn't. He was, you know, Puerto Rican. And the father comes up after doing the mass and takes out his weapon and shoots 3 times point blank at Father Coyle, who's sitting on the porch reading his breviary. He would always read his breviary on the porch. I call him the patron of the porch. And he would talk with people if they needed to share. And he shot him dead. Coyle was invited to do the wedding that day. Somebody else was supposed to do it in Bessemer, Alabama. And he was eating with a bunch of clergy, and he says, I'm going to do this wedding of Pedro Guzman and Stevenson's daughter. I'm probably going to be killed today. Mm. And lo and behold, he was killed.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, he was just a bold witness for Catholicism, for the truth. And, I mean, and the impact, obviously, you could tell my beloved's passion for Father Coyle. It was a game changer in our spiritual journey. You know, Jim went to the cemetery in his clerical collar. He went to the Alpha Supply gift store where he had a card. There was a card on the counter as he was checking out, and he was reading about it, learning about it. And God had him on this spiritual track and journey. And then he went to the cemetery. When he came home that day, you know, we're still in the Episcopal Church. I'm still very happy. I am not on a journey to the Catholic Church. And you told me that story, and I was like, what? Like, what does that mean? What is happening? What is God doing? But it was like the beginning of a grace beginning to fall upon us and open our hearts and say, I have more for the two of you. Yeah. Don't limit me.
I'm just hoping that this wet your whistle to come to the Mass if you're in the area. Come to St. Paul's Cathedral, the Cathedral of St. Paul, at 10 a.m. for the Mass. 9:30 will be the documentary. And pray that the canonization of Father Coyle, we're gathering information on Coyle. It hasn't started formally. It's way past time for us to move forward. So pray about that. Ask Father Coyle's prayers for you, for your family, especially those who've wandered away from the church, that they would come back home to the faith. So we're going to stop at this point. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, now we're going to go to Joan Lewis to hear her latest report on the current events of our wonderful Pope Leo. Joan, what do you have for us today?
Well, greetings from the Eternal City. And I have to say the word eternal lately seems to be referring to the never-ending heat wave. I mean, we are in our fourth big scorcher of the summer. But you know what? That scorching heat does not seem to deter tourists. They are all over Rome looking at the monuments of the Eternal City. They're visiting Vatican City, of course, often standing in long lines to get into the Basilica and to get into the Vatican museums. Now, yesterday, Sunday, of course, they were in St. Peter's Square to recite the Angelus with the Holy Father. And then going back to Wednesday, the St. Peter's Basilica was filled almost to overflowing. Because of the people having to moving the Wednesday audience event inside simply because of the enormous temperatures, the hot temperatures outside. Now back to yesterday, of course, at the Angelus, the Holy Father greeted the people from the window of his study in the Apostolic Palace, and he reflected on the day's gospel. And this is, of course, the story of where he said Jesus is in a boat on the sea in the middle of a storm, and he's walking on water. And he actually intended this walking on water to calm the disciples, but it had just the opposite effect with them. They were even more afraid, and so Jesus said to them, "Don't worry, it is I. You need not be afraid." And so Leo said that the Pope said that Christ's presence, his physical presence, changes everything. He said, Peter even manages to take a few steps, then he becomes afraid, then he falls in the water, and of course, Jesus saves him. And he said, this gospel passage, said Leo, indicates the need not to be afraid and to never take our eyes off of Jesus. Importantly, this episode, said Pope Leo, this elicited a profession of faith from the apostles. They said to him, truly, you are the Son of God. So he said the disciples thus experienced the peace of Christ reaching them even in the middle of raging waters. Now, I want to go back to something kind of important, and that is to say, I want to go back to Thursday, the August 6th, the Feast of the Transfiguration. I'm sure you remember that the Holy Father was in Assisi that day. He was at the Santa Maria degli Angeli with all the thousands of young people who'd come from all over Europe for the Go Franciscan Youth Festival. But also in Assisi on Thursday was Cardinal Pier Battista Pizzaballa. Now, he's the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, and he was there not only for the Pope's pastoral visit, but to inaugurate the Global House of Friendship and Hope. This is an institution created by the Elijah Interfaith Fund. And the Cardinal had an interview with Vatican News, who asked him about any signs of peace in the Middle East, and he said yes. He said, hope remains because there are so many people who continue to put themselves on the line in Gaza, the West Bank, and Israel. People who still choose to get involved, to build encounters, to defend others. And this is interesting. He said, there are still antibodies within that society that prevent the whole body from being overcome by this virus of violence. So on those amazing words of hope, time's up. Back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for another wonderful support. May things cool down for you and everyone there in Rome. I wanted to share just a little bit here regarding some words that were spoken about Father Coyle from his bishop shortly after his death. He said, Father Coyle was a martyr to duty. He married a couple. The man was Catholic by birth. The woman was taken into the Catholic faith several months ago. The marriage ceremony was performed before God's altar. And then Father Coyle was shot down with no one to defend him. Father Coyle's written over 100 poems, and we have them in a book that was published in 1922. This is one of his words. It's entitled, In Te Spa Ravi, which means, in you I trust. Lord, thou hast guided me. O thou that ever at my side was near, preserve and guard and keep me now. And trusting thee, what shall I fear? What shall I fear? When days are drearer, and drearer some days must be, if, Lord, with all my heart and soul, I can still hope in thee. Father Coyle's last recorded words in his pulpit notes, he has 18 volumes of writings. The last words he said were these. Give. Give until it hurts. Then, only then, is there sacrifice. He gave it all. He emulated Christ unto death, knowing that his life could be taken at any point. He never ran away from it. He walked in the way of the Savior. May we do likewise. Mm. Be sure to join us on Wednesday. We'll have some wonderful shows at that point. And so just tune in once again. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone, and you're always at home with Jim. Enjoy. Bye now.